Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 34. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Right. Verse chosen by Mahatattva Prabhu. Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipum Sang Vishnu Iva Suretaraha. Translation. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Purport. There are two classes of human beings, namely the atheist and the devotee of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord, because of manifesting godly qualities, is called a demigod. I have my watch there. Just pass it back. Whereas the atheist is called a demon. The demon cannot stand in the presence of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The demons are always trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead. But factually, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears, by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, or variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia, and thus as soon as the saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees, so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. Yeah, cell phones off, please. So that the influence of the ghostly demons cannot come through the cell phone. This verse is spoken in regard to the appearance of Srila Shukadev Goswami on the bank of the Ganga or Yamuna. He appeared there, it is said by chance. Do you want to turn this light off? No need for it to be on. Save the money for spending in Krishna's service. He appeared on the bank of the Ganga just as Parikshit Maharaj was. He had taken the vow to fast until the time of his parting from this world, which was predicted due to the bite of the takshak, snake bird. He was cursed like that, unfairly, but he accepted the curse and thought that I don't have much time, so I should use this time for finding out what is the ultimate goal of life, which actually he was quite aware of, because it's described later in the Bhagavatam that from his very childhood he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and he would play with dolls, Krishna Leela, and even when he was called for his meals he was so much absorbed. As a child he didn't like to eat, so he was already accustomed to being in Krishna consciousness rather than eating, which is a very advanced stage. Nidahara vihara kadi vijito. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are described as having conquered over eating and sleeping. But when news spread throughout the universe that Maharaj Parikshit was going to fast to death on the bank of the Ganga, so many saintly persons assembled from all over the universe because they knew that he's a great devotee, and they must have been expecting that something wonderful was going to happen. So he was asking all of them, sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? And so many gave different answers. But when Shukadeva Goswami appeared, as if by chance, actually by the arrangement of the Lord, but as if by chance, because he was just wandering here and there. So he appeared, and then all the different persons who were, all the great rishis who were assembled there, and Parikshit Maharaj himself, they could immediately understand by seeing him that this by his bodily luster and his physical appearance, and the fact that he was wandering naked, but obviously quite detached from everything around him, and even from the state of being naked. He wasn't disturbed by that, or disturbed by other people's disturbance at it, because there were some ignorant children and some foolish women who were following him and joking at him and this and that, because they were thinking he's a madman. But when they saw that all the saints respected him, then the women and children just ran away. And all the saints, they respected him only, even though he's only 16 years old, because they could understand that we're giving advice, but we would be better off hearing from him and getting advice from him. And that the stage of realization that they were attempting to attain, he had already attained it. He's obviously on the topmost platform. So he entered this place where Parikshit Maharaj had begun his fasting, and Parikshit welcomed him. Actually, he spoke to Parikshit, but so many others were present, they were also hearing. The principal hearer was Parikshit Maharaj. And as is appropriate, he offered words of praise to Shukadeva Goswami, that some words of praise should be there that are appropriate, not just simply you are great, you are wonderful, but there should be some glorification of the qualities. How is he great, how is he wonderful, just like we offer the pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada, that nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine, that we offer praise to him who is Vishnupad, means he's situated at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, or it also means that he is on the same level as Vishnu. Krishna prishtha, he's very dear to Krishna. So this has come to be in our Sarasvat line, or the line of devotees coming from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This has come to be a generic mantra. But then there's Prabhupada's specific pranam mantra, Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Chane, that describes his specific contribution of on the order of and in the service of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western countries, which are filled with voidism and impersonalism. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is offering respects, respectful words of praise to Shukadeva Goswami. And these prayers, they could be said to any great personality, that, as we can see from the beginning. O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage. All by your presence here is my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. Simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Just as the atheist, today we read this, just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Then he goes on with prayers that could be offered to any devotee, especially very great devotees. And then he praises that you must have been sent by Krishna. So this is specifically for Shukadeva Goswami. It's not just by chance. Krishna must have directed your wanderings. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha juna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani maya. So Krishna, within the heart of everyone, is directing the wanderings of all living beings, and particularly so his devotees. That means as Paramatma, he oversees the wanderings of the living beings within the 84 lakh species of life, but particularly his devotees. That's why we often see that by chance someone met a devotee, and then they took up Krishna consciousness. But if we find most people, how they're coming to Krishna consciousness, we'll find there are certain stages leading up to that, which seem like coincidences, but it's not. It's all arranged by Krishna. Because he knows who's just ready to be his devotee. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One out of all the unlimited jivas wandering in the universe, one who is very fortunate can take to Krishna consciousness. That means that when their consciousness is becoming suitable for taking to Krishna consciousness, even though it may not appear like that previously, but it's just like you might not know there's a volcano is about to erupt, but when it does, it's quite spectacular. So up until the time it erupts, it just looks like a mountain, or sometimes just out of the ground if there's no volcano come before in that area. So all of a sudden, phew, so like that, suddenly sometimes people take to Krishna consciousness. Seems like that, but it means that even themselves they're surprised. When they look back, one devotee was telling me recently that in her youth, an astrologer told her that in a few years you'll be associating with sadhus and serving sadhus, and she just laughed. So me, but that happened. So by good fortune, Krishna, one who has that good fortune of being indirectly prepared by Agyata Sukriti in previous lives, and Krishna will direct their wanderings so that they can come in the path of a devotee. And Krishna sends his devotees to wander in the world and purify others. So this purification that takes place simply by seeing a devotee, one becomes purified. Therefore, the Grihasthas here, it's mentioned in the previous verse, they like to mostly the Grihasthas like to invite sadhus to their homes because they think it's an easy karma cleanup process. And not only that, I'm talking about materialistic and pious householders, and we'll get some benediction for our ongoing sense gratification. So we see that gurus, they go on circuits, they visit people's houses, and they collect donations, and people wash their feet, and they move on. So they're happy. It's an easy job, family inherited job. You become a guru, family guru, and you walk around and give blessings. Actually, these people, these family gurus, they have no shakti anyway, but people think they have. because they come in a Brahmana family, they wash their feet and offer them some food and like this, these people who are family gurus, they're taking the karma of these people. So the people, that idea is there. How much power they have to purify is not known, but they're getting their feet washed and all this, so then they're taking the karma, but it's very bad for them because they themselves are not purified. If one is not purified and he attempts to purify others, then he'll just become more loaded down with sins. It's just like if a doctor himself he doesn't have very strong immune system, then he goes to treat others, he's going to get sick. So those who are actually devotees, and atheists here, it's stated here. Atheists, they cannot... atheists cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead. He usually kills them. So, either they keep away or they get sent away. But also, the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished. So actually, the sins of a person are vanquished by the presence of a saintly person. But not, even though one's sins may be destroyed, still the tendency to sin will be there unless one hears from a devotee. Yesterday we were listening to the learned disquisition on Vani and Vapu by Radhika Devi Dasi. So this Vapu, one can see, but more important is to hear. So many people saw Prabhupada, and by seeing him, stated here, the sins are removed. But the tendency to sin is not likely to be removed unless one hears from a devotee. And even the tendency to sin will remain as long as one does not develop the tendency to serve Krishna, because that is the meaning of sin. Generally we talk about sin, there are four main sinful activities. Striya, Suna, Pana, Dyuta. This means illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Not in that order. Striya means illicit sex. Suna means animal slaughter. Pana means drinking. And specifically in this context, it means drinking alcohol. And dyuta, gambling. So these are four sinful activities. And there are so many others. Telling lies, cheating, violence, all these things, unnecessary violence. So these are sins, but the basic sin is the tendency not to serve Krishna. That's why even yesterday morning we saw in the park the couple, they were swinging the children on the swings, pushing them back and forth. They think, oh, it's very nice, the parents are looking after their children. It's also sinful. Why? Because they're doing without a sense of Krishna consciousness. We shall enjoy our family, separate from Krishna. Of course, there's punya and pap. Punya activities like performing sacrifices, going to holy places, feeding, say, poor people, not the beggars on the street. That's actually sinful also. Feeding people like alcoholics, that's also sinful. Feeding destitute devotees, that's pious, or brahmanas. But, so that's pious, but it's considered pious, but it's that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has described, just like wet stool and dry stool. In India, you see stool in the fields. You're all city people, so you don't see so much. People go to the field. Still, they do. Let's say poor people, they go in. There's not much fields, but they'll go in some construction site or something like this. And or by the side of the railway. That's very common. When you come into a big station, you smell it first before you see it. So, but here you see the dog stool. So, wet stool and dry stool. If it's wet and you tread in it, ugh, that's not very nice. If it's dry, it's not so bad, but it's still contaminated. So, in the same way, pap, eating meat, drinking wine, having illicit sex, all these things, that is like wet stool. And performing pious activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, it's like dry stool. It means it may not be so bad, but it's still contaminated. Yeah. Because it's done without a sense of Krishna consciousness. Of course, the Vedic culture is such that it helps people of sinful disposition to have at least some increment of Krishna consciousness. Because if one is to perform yajnas, then yajna vai Vishnu, yajna is Vishnu, yajneshwar is Vishnu. So. And even for the sake of sinful people, it's just like Vishnu Sahasranam, people chant. Why do people chant? Nowadays they don't. Mostly, they stop chanting, they put on the Lakshmi Subramaniam cassette instead. And now they don't do that even. You don't hear it even anymore. That you used to hear even 10 years ago in South India, we used to always hear this and the Venkatesh Suprabhatam, but now there's no Suprabhatam because they're not up in the morning, they're sleeping, and they just like in the West, they get up. I doubt if they even take bath, and they just rush off to work. So like this. This is sinful life. And that was pious life, to rise early in the morning and chant Vishnu Sahasranam. But that they're not doing. Why were they doing? Most of them were not doing for bhakti, but they're thinking by doing so we can be free from pap. Because they know, that's stated, but particularly Vishnu Nam will remove pap. That's why mostly everyone, the complete smartas, they all chant Vishnu. Smartas and Vaishnavas. Who's from any Tamil people here? There's that sharp divide there in Tamil Nadu between the smarter Brahmanas and the Ayas and the Iyengars. You don't know. Yeah. It's in Tamil Nadu. But they both traditionally used to chant Vishnu Sahasranam. So the Iyengars or the Vaishnav Brahmanas, they hopefully they were doing not just for freedom from sins, but for the sake of Vishnu Bhakti. But the Smartas, they were doing that we can get free from sins. Use Vishnu Nam as like soap powder or washing up liquid or something. Clean off your sins every morning. So at least there was some touch of Krishna consciousness. But basically the attitude that we shall enjoy this material world, that is sinful. What is the most... We think of sin, we think of violence, just like now there's so much violence going on in Iraq, isn't it? Still, I haven't seen a paper or heard the news for quite some time, but presumably it's not going to stop overnight. It'll probably go on for years now. America's continuing contribution to world peace. So, that's horrible, huh? So many horrible stories coming out of Iraq. What's the most violent thing you could think of? Previously in India, one thing, they used to kill people by throwing them on spikes. And then they'd land on that, and if it didn't go directly through their heart, then they'd just lie on it, maybe if it just caught them in the side, they might be lying there for 2-3 days, just slowly dying. That's pretty nasty, isn't it? Then in medieval Europe, they had the Iron Maiden. You heard about that? Well, that's pretty nasty too. It's like a something like a cupboard. It's shaped in the shape of a human body. You stand in it, and they close the door, and the door has all spikes. So you by closing the door, all the spikes go in. It's very nasty, isn't it? When you hear it, you don't want to take breakfast now, probably. They have all kinds of nasty ways. In Burma, they used to put tie people down on the ground in the forest during the Second World War, the British prisoners, or the Allied prisoners. And they'd tie them down on the floor and put sugar water all over them so that these forest ants, which have a ferocious bite, they'd come and eat all the sugar and then they'd eat their body. That's a nasty way to die, isn't it? So there's so much violence, so nasty. It's horrible, isn't it? But the worst violence, worse than all of these, worse than Hitler, worse than Stalin, is not preaching Krishna consciousness. It's the worst violence. Because Hitler, he killed some bodies which had to die anyway. We're not saying it's good, but it was not as bad as not as failing to preach Krishna consciousness. So every parent who doesn't attempt to give Krishna consciousness to their children is more sinful than Hitler, according to this analysis. Because by that, they are condemning, that their duty is to impart that knowledge to their child. That is their duty. But if they fail to do so, then they are condemning him to repeated birth and death. So Hitler killed one body once, or some bodies once, thousands of bodies once. But if we fail to give Krishna consciousness to others, then we are condemning the person to repeated birth and death. Or even if we don't take to Krishna consciousness ourselves, that in itself is sinful. So, we should understand this. In the modern way of life, people do not know what is sin. There's no consciousness of sin. And, of course, there are Christians, born-again Christians, Bible-bashing Christians, there are different words for it. And they say, don't sin. Or, actually, they don't say don't sin so much as they say Jesus will save you from sins. Isn't it? They say that more. They don't emphasize not sinning very much. But they emphasize, he already died, so let's have a party and, you know, every Sunday go to church. Prabhupada said in this regard that they are going on crucifying Jesus. They want him, you suffer. We shall sin, you suffer. So, but their presentation of theism is such that any intelligent person will be turned off it. Because if this is theism, to this kind of fanatical, non-philosophical approach, it happened to me. I was brought up as a Christian. By the age of about, I think it was about 11 or something, I thought, this is so absurd. What they're talking about God, then, better I don't believe in God, because if that's God, the way they're talking, then there's no such a... How can there be? And we don't see in their behavior either that they're any better than anyone else, and often they're worse than those who don't profess to believe in God. So by the grace of my Catholic upbringing, by around the age of 11, I became an atheist. Of course, I still used to go to church because I would be doing the services, the funerals and marriages, and I'd get some pay for that, so I was a professional assistant priest with no belief in God. But anyway, a little later I considered that actually there must be God, but not these people don't know anything about it. So this Bhagavatam gives scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead and all the science of Godhead, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate, the scientific knowledge of Godhead, all the points described, who is God, what does he look like, what does he do, what are his names, where does he live, what is his address, who his father and mother are, what his phone number is, everything is given. Who are we? Why are we suffering in this material world? How are we suffering? We're so stupid, we don't even realize we're suffering. So Krishna has to tell us, and it's outlined in Bhagavatam. How we're suffering, and then what is sin? What is sin? Lying is a sin, yes? So Yudhishthira, he told a lie on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He didn't want to, but Krishna told him to, and then his chariot went down, right? Because he sinned by telling a lie, right? Wrong. He sinned by hesitating to follow Krishna's order. In that situation, he should have lied because Krishna told him to. But because he didn't want to, therefore his chariot went down. So everything has to be understood in terms of Krishna consciousness. Ekalavya was a great guru, bhakta. And Arjun was just envious of him. Therefore he wanted his thumb, he wanted Dronacharya to make some solution that now I won't be the best disciple of Dronacharya. This Ekalavya will outdo me. So Ekalavya was a great guru bhakta, right? Now you're afraid to say. You don't know whether to say yes or no. That's what's generally understood. But Arjun saw that this Ekalavya, he's not properly qualified. He didn't get permission, but he's tried to steal the knowledge and prowess from Dronacharya. Therefore, he should not be party to that knowledge. He's a cheat. He's an imitation. He never surrendered to Dronacharya. He didn't follow his order. He didn't serve him. But he just wanted to take the knowledge. So he's a fraud. And actually, Ekalavya was eventually killed by Krishna. Yes, you'll find in the Mahabharata war. So all these things, that's why we have to hear from devotees. These two points, how Yudhishthira's chariot went down. Why? And why Ekalavya was not a great guru bhakta, but he was a fraud. These points were explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So coming to Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that we are pious Hindus and we just start chanting Hare Krishna. And we stop eating meat if we're eating it, which most people in India are nowadays. Especially the educated people, because they're more stupid. So, and they can afford it too. So, but Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that we're nice, pious Hindus and we start chanting Hare Krishna. But it means a complete change of consciousness, understanding everything from the Krishna conscious perspective. What is sin? Sin means not to do what Krishna wants us to do. And if by lying, stealing, killing, as in the case of Arjuna, we can satisfy Krishna, then not to do so is sinful. Of course, most of us won't be called upon to kill for Krishna. But I've told so many lies in the service of Krishna. Why are you coming to this country? Oh, just visiting. Tourism. I never went for tourism to any country. But if we tell at certain countries when you're entering, if you tell, we're coming to preach Bhagavad Gita, and say, oh, really? You see that plane you came on? Just get right back on it and go back where you came from. So then the purpose will be thwarted. So then that would be not exactly sinful, but that would be foolish. It would be a waste of Krishna's money to be so honest to people whose duty as a job is to protect against such things as the preaching of Krishna consciousness. We may say, just like we see in Mathura, the washerman, he had clothes which he was bringing for the king, Kamsa. And Krishna came and said, hey, those are nice clothes, give them to me. And in reply, the washerman said, hey, who are you young boys upstarts? This is for the king. You can't take the king's clothes. You should know what your position is and what his position is. So, actually, from the ordinary perspective, what the washerman said was quite correct. He was doing his duty, and he was warning Krishna. He's thinking of Krishna, that you see, you should know what's in your own self-interest. Don't try to take the king's goods. But because he went against Krishna, in what would normally have been good, well-wishing advice, resulted in the washerman getting his head cut off for the sinful activity of trying to thwart Krishna in Krishna's desire or enjoyment. So all these things should be understood. But when Kubja came, that shortly afterwards, Trivakra, the hunchback young woman, then she desired to enjoy Krishna in almost in a mundane, lusty way. But she was, so that's also, the washerman had a mundane approach to Krishna. And the Kubja, she also had a mundane outlook. But because the washerman wanted to thwart Krishna's enjoyment, he became angry at Krishna, against Krishna, whereas Kubja, her attitude was also practically mundane. But she had some feelings of affection towards Krishna, even though it was not tattvic, it was not according to proper philosophical understanding. And it wasn't with the pure love that the gopis had. But still, Krishna, he accepted the good part of that and purified Kubja. So there are so many points which could be discussed, but there's no time because you all have to rush off to please Bill Gates, those of you who are working for Microsoft. Not that he knows who you are or gives a damn about you, but that's modern life. You work for someone. Many times the people are working in some company, the boss lives 10,000 miles away, they don't even know who their boss is, not even his name. At least the Microsoft workers know the name of Bill Gates. There's no chance to meet him. This is really, bifale shevinu kripana durajana, uselessly working for some kripon, miserly, durajana, rascal. Anyway, Bill Gates isn't so bad, because at least once he gave a donation to the devotees, and you can use your income in Krishna's service. So, having said that, we'll finish with all glories to Lord Sri Krishna. Any question? You have to rush off, I think.
As you said, the washerman disrespected Krishna.
The washerman disrespected Krishna, yeah, he was angry at Krishna.
But as a common people, because Krishna was also in a human form.
Krishna is in human-like form, yes, well. Or rather, we are in Krishna-like form. That's more exact. Krishna's form is eternal. And our form is constituted in resemblance of his. Not that, to say, we say, as a convention it said human-like form, but actually, that is his form.
So how washerman will come to know that?
He didn't. He didn't know Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was his mistake. That was his sin. That's the sin of everyone. But he had this bad attitude towards Krishna. So Krishna was very kind to him and liberated him from that sinful activity. When Krishna kills someone, that's his kindness. Everything Krishna does is kind.
Maharaj, based on the same thing, since he committed some sins, the washerman,
dhobi, in common.
So he didn't know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God.
Yes, he didn't know, but...
Because he did know, he committed another mistake on top of it. So still... He's going down and down.
Everyone is responsible. We're all responsible for our... Ignorance is not an excuse. One is supposed to know. Others knew. Others in Mathura knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Just after that, Krishna went to... he visited the place of Sudama, his devotee, who was a Mali florist. And he greeted him with nice prayers and gave him so many flowers. And another, just after that, he took the cloth. It was just newly, seems it was newly prepared cloth. It didn't seem it being worn by Kansa. I don't think Krishna would have worn. But then as soon as that incident was over, one tailor came and he made all nice clothes for Krishna and Balaram. So the people of Mathura, they knew about Krishna. And some accepted him as the Supreme Lord. And others were on Kansa's side. So he was Suvidavadi, or Avsarvadi. He was an opportunist. So it was okay as long as Kamsa was the king, but then when Krishna came, he could take the opportunity. What's that other? He was a chamcha. That's, or a, of the king, just coming up to him and getting some his advantage. Usually people like this, when there's, just like, there's some big Indian business family in Britain, and they always maintain friendship with both the prime minister and the leader of the opposition. And they pay them both off because they know one comes after the other. So when he's with the prime minister, they joke together about the opposition leader. When he's with the opposition leader, they joke bad jokes about the prime minister. So he's trying to balance it both ways, because for all the talks about democracy and fairness, it's quite clear that, You can buy the favor of politicians, even in these so-called democracies. So, but the washerman, he wasn't smart enough. He thought, I'll just satisfy Kamsa. He wasn't. And we don't find anyone who is going both ways. Krishna, just like it said here, there are two classes of beings. So Krishna, either you love him, or you're against him. Krishna doesn't, you can't cheat Krishna. You can't play around games with him. Just like if you think, I'll sin all my life, and at the end of my life, I'll say Hare Krishna. You won't be able to. I heard one story, one man, he retired and went to Vrindavan with the aim of dying in Vrindavan. So just towards the end of his life, he got very sick, and then his family came and took him to a hospital in Agra, and he died there. So if you think, I'll live a totally materialistic life and at the end I'll do Krishna Bhakti and I'll get delivered. Krishna's more clever than us.
In regard to the washerman, you know, like somebody pointed out that he didn't even know who Krishna was. He was like looking like any other human, a little bit bluish. So what was his sin?
His sin was that he...
Yeah, but that's what I was gonna say. That we take that position as a starting point, but when how did he come to that position? His position originally was in the spiritual world.
His position was in the spiritual world, and Krishna bhuli. He forgot Krishna, like all of us.
So he was envious fellow.
He was envious. Yeah. He was envious of Krishna, and when that manifested in Krishna's presence, He got the payout. He hit the jackpot of his envy. It all came to fruition at that time. He was very lucky. He got killed by Krishna. Most don't get killed by Krishna.
They're merging the body of Krishna.
Generally, yeah. They may get Swarup Siddhi also, just like Kamsa. Because he was always thinking of Krishna, then he got a form in the spiritual world.
The same question. Washerman, he was an ordinary person and he was doing his duty. So
An ordinary person who does his duty not in Krishna consciousness does not get sadgati, he gets adhogati.
So the approach was his towards Krishna, though he was doing duty.
That's the point. The duty, if we execute not in Krishna consciousness, that is sinful. You can be very good looking after your parents, looking after your family. At Vala Vidyanagar in Gujarat, maybe it's over a year ago now, they did a drama, a Jamil drama. So this is the first they ever did in the area. And all the big people of the area came all dressed up nicely to see the drama. And before they did the drama of a Jamil, they said they had the story of Mr. Patel. So Mr. Patel comes down for breakfast, and his wife and children are there, and he's very nice to them, and he says, "What do you want me to bring back when I come back this evening?" And he's so nice to his children, and he marches off to work, and then you see him sitting in his office, sitting there saying, "Mere ye bhakti karna ka koi zarurat nahi hai. Main acha kaam karta hoon. Mere ye bhakti karna ka koi zarurat nahi hai. For there's no need for me to do bhakti. I do good work. And I don't need to." And then right after that, he has a heart attack. And the Yamadutas drag him off. And then they show the Ajamils. It's like a 5-minute sketch before the Ajamils. So afterwards, everyone was asking, but that was just like us. He didn't, what did he do wrong? And that was just like us. That will happen to us also. Yes. So what did he do wrong? What he did wrong was, he did not utilize the human form of life for serving Krishna. And he thought that being good means to act simply for the sake of our families without surrendering to Krishna. And he was actually defiant to the principle of bhakti.
I think here the washerman doesn't tell politely to Krishna. He becomes angry.
Yeah.
Anger is maybe one of the prime reasons.
Yeah, he was angry, but the point is that he was against Krishna. That was expressed in his anger. Anger is not necessarily bad.
If it's relation.
Anger which is in relation to Krishna consciousness, like Hanuman, he was angry. He's glorified for that, for burning Lanka.
The atheist by nature, is it because of the bad karma
the root cause of atheism is just simply the bad desire not to serve Krishna. Bad karma is a result of that. Atheism is not a result of bad karma. Bad karma, all karma is bad karma actually, unless it's any materialistic karma is a. It's like this, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribhir Edamana Madhapuman Naivar Hatya Vidhatum Vai Twamakanchana Gochara. This good karma of having birth in an aristocratic family, wealth, beauty, learning, these are generally obstacles in the development of our Krishna consciousness. Good karma. So what is good? That means it's good from the point of view of worldly enjoyment. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dinere adhik doya kare bhagavan. Pandit kulin dhani bara abhiman. Can you follow? Means that Bhagavan is generally more kind to the lowly and fallen because those who are of high birth, wealthy and learned, they're generally very proud. So what is good karma? Now you've all got good jobs in America. For most people come from India, that means a passport to go to hell much quicker. Because they have exposure to the grossly sinful life of America and the money to indulge in it also. So they're thinking, oh, this is very good. But actually then they become more fallen more quickly. for most people, for most Indians, isn't it? Of course, in India now, they're also racing to hell as fast as they can. So you should try to help them. You can show that book, that message to Youth of India, that's good to give to. We'll finish here.